Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. I'm Dr. Carol Myers from the College of Nursing. Today, we will discuss homelessness. My guest, one of my favorite UT colleagues, is Dr. David Patterson, a professor from the UT College of Social Work. One of the most noteworthy of David's many accomplishments is his deep and sustained community engagement. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Dr. Myers. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's start, Dr. Patterson, with describing or profiling the homeless population in Knoxville, and then complement this profile with a national one.
Sure. So the information I'll be giving you comes from the Knoxville Homeless Management Information System, or KNOCS-HMIS, which we've been running for 15 years, and it allows us to collect data on homeless individuals seeking services. And so last year, there were 9,183 unique individuals who received services in Knox County. And that's pretty much the level it's been for the last 5 years. It's about a 3% increase over last year, but those numbers fluctuate just a little.
Can you say more about the homeless population? So the numbers have been relatively stable. What else do we know from the HMIS database?
Well, we know a great deal. For instance, we know that, 69% of all individuals seeking services have zip codes of last permanent address within Knox County or the surrounding county. So that's important. It sort of erodes a myth that homeless individuals come from elsewhere for services in Knoxville. And while people from rural areas may come in, the numbers are small.
I am so glad you mentioned that because working with the homeless population previously, we heard the myth that because of our confluence of interstates and our relatively mild climate that we had these people flocking to Knoxville, and the data says otherwise. Thank you.
There is some transient population, but it's not great. The other thing I think it's important is that 17% of individuals seeking services have a disability, either a mental health or physical or substance abuse-related disability. And one of the numbers that's also been rather constant, sadly been constant over the years that we've been collecting data, is about 12% of individuals seeking services are doing so because of domestic violence.
Let me ask a follow-on question to that, Dr. Patterson. So another thing that we think about are men standing on the street, single men, homeless. And yet, I'm assuming from what you've just said that we're talking about families, mothers, children, perhaps fathers with them if we're looking at domestic violence. Is that an accurate conclusion from what you've just said?
Well, with domestic violence, typically it's women, and oftentimes it's women and children. So they are female-headed households seeking service and seeking a shelter.
Is there anything different about the profile of homelessness at the national level from what you've described here at the Knoxville level?
No, it's very similar, actually. The number of individuals who are African American is disproportional in both the national numbers and also in the local numbers. And part of that might be attributable to the fact that African American families have one-tenth the wealth of white families. And so they are at greater risk because they have fewer resources to sustain them in difficult times.
Okay. Another group that I wonder about is veterans. Again, we think about veterans, and we've heard about the rate of homelessness among veterans. Could you talk about that?
Both on the national and local level, there's some good news. The VA and the government have made a sustained effort to house homeless veterans over the last 3 to 4 years. And so we've seen rates drop both nationally and locally.
I suspect, Dr. Patterson, that homelessness is like many of the things that we discuss on Health Connections. Brandon and I frequently say to each other, it's complicated. So can you please comment on some of the factors you've already mentioned, poverty, that contribute to homelessness?
Well, you're right, Dr. Myers. It is complex. And what we commonly say, there are multiple pathways into and multiple pathways out of homelessness, and that an individual's homelessness is often a combination of individual health, employment, and family of origin factors, and also economic and structural factors, low wages, the high costs, the rising cost of housing.
There might be some folks that are still scratching their heads right now, say, why are we talking about homelessness on Health Connections? Well, we've talked before that homelessness is a key, what we call social determinant of health. Can you say more about the link between health and housing?
Yes. There are two sides to this. The first side is for individuals who are experiencing homelessness, the simple reality of being on the streets places them at greater risk of violence, of exposure to heat and cold, exposure to disease, exposes them to a number of risk factors that can impinge upon their health for sustained periods of time. The other side of that, and what has become really clear in the literature, is that permanent supportive housing reduces both the cost to the community and it also reduces the health consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a nurse, I would think there's probably another way to look at this with our lack of universal health coverage and the increasing prevalence of chronic disease. Poor health could be a contributor to homelessness, not just homelessness to poor health. So we have this almost vicious cycle going on from what I'm understanding from what you've said.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct, that people end up homeless because they can't pay medical bills. So it is a circular and cumulative effect of being ill, being unable to work, being unable to pay health care costs, and becoming homeless and then exacerbating their health condition.
Well, one of the things that we adhere to on this show is that describing problems is incredibly important, but the more value-added step is to begin to look at how we address these problems. How do we advance policies, Dr. Patterson, that intervene to change this vicious cycle we've talked about? What are some evidence-based strategies?
Well, there are two very important evidence-based strategies. The first is rapid rehousing. And rapid rehousing means that we're attempting to get families and individuals who have fallen into a first episode or perhaps a second episode of homelessness out of homelessness and back into some sheltered situation as quickly as possible. We track that information on our Knox HMIS dashboard, and any of your listeners can see. And at present, it takes about 52 days to rehouse someone. So that's a period of time that those families are at risk, those individuals at risk, those youth are at risk, and those elderly individuals are at risk of all of the things associated with homelessness.
Dr. Patterson, how are we doing in the Knoxville area about rapid rehousing?
The time to rapid rehousing has gone down over time. And so I think that we're doing a terrific job. We could do better, or we could do it more efficiently if there were more housing options in the area, more low-cost housing options, and just more resources.
Dr. Patterson, you mentioned there were two particular evidence-based strategies, rapid rehousing. What's the second one?
The second one is permanent supportive housing. And nationwide, it's believed and thought and actually been demonstrated that the solution to homelessness is permanent supportive housing. And by that, we mean housing for individuals who are at risk of becoming homeless again, that there are case managers and individuals that are supporting their residents in a sheltered situation, in a home, or more likely in an apartment. To be clearer about that, these are healthcare case managers or healthcare providers. They are people from mental health centers who are providing the support that helps individuals who have oftentimes adjusted their life and the worldview to being on the street for years. And so that change from being on the street to having a home, having meals, is challenging. And so they need that support. There's very good evidence that this reduces costs to communities and taxpayers when you use permanent supportive housing.
We have made some improvement here in Knoxville. Can you say a little bit about the community efforts? Who's involved? What are some of the major initiatives to address the problem of homelessness right here where we live?
That's a great question, Dr. Myers. Mayor Rojero and the Office on Homelessness in the city have been instrumental in organizing the respective service providers into the mayor's roundtable, and we meet on a quarterly basis. We exchange information. Knox HMIS has been funded to facilitate the collection and distribution of information, which really becomes an empirical window into homelessness in the community. The other agencies that are major players in this effort are Helen Ross McNabb Center, Volunteer Ministry Center, CARM, Salvation Army, the Families First.
Cherokee Health Systems.
Yeah, and Cherokee Health Systems.
One of the groups that you didn't mention that I always smile when I say it is the very vital role of the downtown churches in helping to address this problem. Do you still see this involvement from the churches in the Knoxville community?
Yes, in a variety of ways, and you hear some of my hesitance.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage churches and faith-based communities to look for long-term solutions. While handing out meals under viaducts may be helpful in the short term and for people who are doing it, I sometimes refer to it as it giving them a dopamine hit, that it sort of gives them that positive reinforcement of taking care of someone, but it's a very short-term thing. And what we need, I think, in my opinion, is we need more engagement of the faith community in partnering with service providers, in partnering with city and county government to find ways of funneling money into long-term permanent supportive housing.
Well, let's end with, is there something, a message, a call to action, or something for our listeners, folks that aren't in leadership positions with these service agencies that you're talking about? What can our listeners do?
Well, I think they can do several things. One is they can become better informed about the reality of homelessness in this community. And one avenue of that is, again, Knox HMIS. Our community dashboard, our annual reports will give you a better understanding of what we're doing and what we're doing right, because we're doing a lot of things right. And I think that the financial support of the organizations that are working to end homelessness, Helen Ross McNabb, VMC, CARM, Salvation Army, that's really important. These folks are working very hard, and this is a difficult challenge. And the help and support that can be offered through to those organizations is critical.
Thank you. Dr. Patterson, what a pleasure it has been to have this conversation with you. And thank you for the work that you and many of your colleagues do in the Knoxville area.
Thank you, Dr. Myers.